Hello, this is Irene Bullard. I'll be reading the pantograph dated Tuesday, August the 7th. Let's begin. Dawn of a new season. Football season arrived right on time Monday with high school teams throughout central Illinois taking part in their first drills. The high school season opens across the region on August 24th. For more photographs, you can go to thepantograph.com. There is a photograph of Bloomington High School running back Walker Burns stepping through an obstacle course on the first day of practice Monday at Fred Carlton Field in Bloomington. Petition filed to end city election panel. November 6th referendum could have the county clerk oversee voting. All the pieces are now in place for voters to have their say on the Bloomington Election Commission's future this fall. McLean County Republicans and Libertarians submitted about 1,300 petitions Monday requesting a ballot question on city ballots November the 6th that would shutter the BEC, consolidating all local elections into the McLean County Clerk's office. We now will wait to see if the filing was acceptable, and if it is acceptable, when the judge will schedule a hearing, said Connie Beard, chair of the McLean County Republican Party, after turning in paperwork to the county's circuit clerk to trigger a legal proceeding that can put the question on the ballot. I really am confident we presented a good enough case. Consolidating elections is broadly popular among local officials as a way to save money and reduce voter confusion. And the ballot question could end a long standoff between those who want to dissolve the BEC and those who favor moving all elections to a countywide election commission. Some Democrats have said they opposed dissolving the BEC and giving more power to the county clerk, a partisan elected official. The party believes a countywide commission is the way to go, said Eric Rankin, chair of the McLean County Democratic Party. We believe we need to keep partisanship out of elections. Beard said it's in fact more fair to put elections in the hands of an elected official who is directly accountable to voters than an appointed board. The commissioners are appointed by a partisan judge based on political party, she said. It's a misnomer to say it's a non-political process. Steve Seuss, chair of the McLean County Libertarian Party, noted that without state legislation, the only way to get from the current arrangement to a countywide commission is to first eliminate the BEC. The current county clerk, Republican Kathy Michael, opposes a countywide election commission. Her Democratic opponent, Nikita Richards, supports the idea. It's a good thing the voters will have the opportunity to look at it and make a decision, Michael said Monday. Our office can handle it if the voters tell us. Bloomington elections are coming in. Because BEC employees are forbidden from campaigning for a candidate or on an issue, Executive Director Paul Shannon has declined to pick a side in the debate, though he has spoken in favor of some kind of consolidation. Shannon did not respond to a request for comment Monday. Beard and Seuss agreed educating voters about what's on the ballot will be critical to the question's success or failure. It will read, "Shall the city election law be rejected?" It will be a learning curve for voters to fully understand what the question means, she said. But we believe that with good communication over the next few months, the voters will understand the value of such an action. Both said they appreciate the multi-party process that's led to the question. The Democratic leadership chose not to support this, but we had many Democrats sign the petitions, as well as Libertarians and Republicans, said Beard. Over 600 came from Libertarians passing petitions, said Seuss. We more than pulled our own weight. County staff recommended some kind of election consolidation last fall. The county funds both agencies. McLean County is one of a handful of Illinois counties with an election commission. Officials in Peoria and Springfield, which went through similar consolidations in the last 25 years, both said that they have saved more than $300,000 per year because they eliminated redundant positions in the clerks and commission offices. Peoria now has a countywide commission. Springfield elections are run through the Sangamon County Clerk's Office. Mother seeks DCFS probe. Charges reduced in child abuse claim. A normal woman is asking the Inspector General of the State Department of Children and Family Services to investigate the agency's handling of accusations that she injured her son and lied about it to authorities. The state has dismissed felony charges of obstruction of justice and misdemeanor domestic battery against Tricia Danius. A felony count of filing a false police report was reduced to misdemeanor disorderly conduct. It was related to an August 2017 Facebook post stating that her son was injured at Shining Star Learning Center in Normal. Danius was placed on 6 months of court supervision, meaning that no conviction will be entered if she satisfactorily completes the six-month term. The 32-year-old mother renewed her assertion Monday that she did not harm her one-year-old son. Danius said she has asked the in-house oversight unit of DCFS to investigate a three-month gap between when she accused the daycare of abusing her child and the review of surveillance video that led to four license violations being filed against Shining Star. Shining Star owner and executive director Jill Waller said Monday that a DCFS website listing December rule violations incorrectly included an allegation that the facility did not appropriately supervise children and protect them from exploitation, neglect, and abuse. Waller learned of the incorrect entry after the Pantograph asked her about the alleged violation. Waller said the claim was deemed unsubstantiated by DCFS. An agency spokesman confirmed removal from the website of a clerical error that left the misinformation on the website for more than several months. Four substantiated violations include failure of staff to show flexibility, understanding, and patience, respect for adults and children, and listening skills needed to respond to children, according to a DCFS compliance report. Staff lacked adequate skills to provide care, said the state. Waller said staff received training after the citations were issued. The daycare has denied injuring Danius's child. The child care described in the compliance report differs sharply from the exemplary care Normal Police Detective Kendra DeRosa described at a court hearing in Danius's criminal case. The officer said that she watched the surveillance video and saw no signs of aggressive or improper handling of children. Police and prosecutors working on Danius's case were not notified of the state's decision to file the violations related to the surveillance tape and in-person visits to Shining Star. The violations, which have since been corrected, were not sent to authorities because they were licensing violations and did not rise to the level of abuse or neglect, DCFS spokeswoman Alessandra Calderon said Monday. The state's dismissal of the felony charges against Danius follows a judge's ruling that much of her interview at the Normal Police Department would be barred from a jury based upon improper promises of leniency made to Danius by a DCFS worker. Danius' defense lawyer, Steve Skelton, said the interview raises concerns about NPD's use of child welfare workers as part of the interrogation process. It's fraught with problems, Skelton said, of the practice that can lead to legal challenges and false confessions. When caseworkers are essentially playing two roles by assisting police and urging parents to admit alleged misconduct, it can have disastrous consequences, he said. A video played in court showed Danius admitting she struck her son during a diaper change. That statement came after DCFS Child Protection Specialist Teresa Ciardini assured the mother that her children would not be removed from the home if she acknowledged causing the injury, according to the taped interview. Normal Assistant Police Chief Eric Klingel said Monday the department works jointly with DCFS on child welfare cases, but we will look at our practices and on a case-by-case basis see if we need to make changes. The criminal case and placement of Danius's two adopted sons, ages 2 and 1 at the time, with her sister for several months caused major upheaval in the family's life, Danius said in an interview with the Pantograph. After charges were filed, Danius lost her job at a local high school, she said. Danius said she made a false admission to the DCFS worker because I thought they were coming after me, and she feared police would try to accuse her 14-year-old foster daughter, who was taken from school and questioned by normal police without a lawyer present, she said. Danius and her husband, Justin, hope to bring their foster daughter home soon from a relative's home where she's been staying since her removal by the state a year ago. During the 4 days her sons were at Shining Star, Danius said that she complained to DCFS about the boys' care, including the mark on her son's bottom that resulted in the criminal charges. Police said those complaints were not forwarded to them for investigation. Daily Digest. Assessments, solar leases discussed. The Livingston County Farm Bureau and Illinois Farm Bureau will host programs August the 30th on farmland assessments and solar panels. Brenda Matherly of Illinois Farm Bureau will discuss changes to farmland assessment law and tax bill impacts in a talk beginning at 6 p.m. A program at 7 p.m. by Illinois Farm Bureau attorney Garrett Thalgott will address basic lease terms focusing on solar panels. Both programs will be at the Livingston County Farm Bureau, 901 West Howard Street, Pontiac. The programs are free, but reservations are requested by calling 815-842-1103 or emailing livecfb@gmail.com, and that's spelled livecfb@gmail.com. Today in history. Today is Tuesday, August 7th, the 219th day of 2018, and there are 146 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On August the 7th, 1964, Congress passed the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, giving President Lyndon B. Johnson broad powers in dealing with reported North Vietnamese attacks on U.S. forces. Thought for today. You must learn day by day, year by year, to broaden your horizon. The more things you love, the more you are interested in, the more you enjoy, the more you are indignant about, the more you have left when anything happens. Written by Ethel Barrymore, American actress, 1879 to 1959. Road closures. Miller Street between Western Avenue and Livingston Street in Bloomington is closed to through traffic for sewer repairs until further notice. Hovey Avenue at Adelaide Street will have a lane reduction starting Wednesday, August the 8th for water main improvements until further notice. Two-way traffic will be maintained through the intersection. Northbound Adelaide also will be closed. Drivers are asked to use Morgan Street to Samantha Street to access northbound Adelaide from Hovey. Today's Flick Fact. Question. In Illinois, on what days of the week are you most likely to get nailed with a speeding ticket? Which day is the slowest for ticket writing? And the answer, according to Illinois State Police statistics, up to 30% more tickets are written on Saturdays and Sundays compared with Tuesdays, which is consistently the slowest day of the week for ticket writing. Lawyer accused of stealing from trust. State. Layton used family's own money to pay his debt to them. A Bloomington lawyer faces disciplinary action by the state for allegedly using $200,000 from a client trust account to pay a settlement with the client's family over his improper use of their money. In a complaint filed July 24th by the Illinois Registration and Disciplinary Commission, G. Timothy Layton is accused of dishonesty, fraud, deceit, or misrepresentation by using $200,000 from the Betty L. Turpin Revocable Living Trust without the permission of her estate. Layton served as Turpin's lawyer and sole trustee for the trust, valued at $1.2 million. Turpin died in 2011 at 83. According to the ARDC complaint, Layton began removing funds in 2012 from the Turpin bank accounts and putting the money in two accounts that he owned and maintained. The lawyer allegedly transferred more than $40,000 through a series of transfers in 2012 and 2013 and used at least $30,000 of that money for his own purposes, said the state filing. Layton, who practices with the Layton Group, did not return a call from the Pantograph on Monday for comment. In 2013, four of Turpin's relatives filed a federal lawsuit against Layton asking for an accounting of trust funds and damages based on Layton's alleged misconduct. The family filed a claim in 2016 for more than $200,000 in damages based upon an allegation that Layton profited from the Turpin Trust. A settlement between the lawyer, who was licensed to practice law in Illinois in 1999, and the family called for Layton's insurance policy to pay $75,000 and Layton to fund the remaining $200,000 of the agreement. According to the complaint, Layton drew a check from the Turpin Trust's E-Trade account on October 11, 2016, payable to his lawyer's trust account. The check consisted of money that belonged to the Turpin Trust, said the complaint, and was used to pay Layton's share of the settlement. Layton is a former owner of the Thunder hockey team. His website lists his major areas of legal practice as trusts, wills, probate, business and charitable, and tax matters. Public tries police work. Behind the Badge offers interaction simulated tasks. After finishing an impaired driving simulation at Monday night's Behind the Badge experience in Grossinger Motors Arena in Bloomington, Andy Sohn of Bloomington shook his head. "That was much tougher than I thought it was," he said, after wearing a pair of goggles that simulated the effects of driving under the influence and driving a golf cart through an obstacle course. "It was like driving underwater." This was the fourth year for the free event, which allows the public to experience simulated police tasks. But for the first time, the venue moved away from Horton Fieldhouse in Normal. "We like moving it around a little bit, and we did this to get a little better access to Bloomington's west side, and it's a shorter walk for folks on the bus and things like that," said Normal Police Chief Rick Bleichner. The event is sponsored by the Minority and Police Partnership, MAP, and participants included the Bloomington, Normal, and Illinois State University Police Departments, the McLean County Sheriff's and State's Attorney's Offices, and the Children's Discovery Museum in Normal. Some of the tasks and demonstrations included simulated knife attacks, the work of police dogs, a firearms training simulator, traffic stop scenarios, a shoot or don't shoot simulation, a demonstration on how stun guns work, and a children's safety car course. Representatives from the state's attorney's office also were available to answer questions. "It's something we look forward to because we always enjoy meeting with the public," said Bloomington Police Department spokesman Elias Mendiola. Mason Bayan 7 of Bloomington was enjoying his time visiting with sheriff's deputies and took the opportunity to handcuff his grandfather, Larry Boaz, with the assistance of deputies. "That was fun," Mason said. "I told him that I couldn't lift him up if I am handcuffed, but I think he really enjoyed it," Boaz said. McLean County Sheriff John Sandage said, "Being able to interact with youths is one of the main advantages of the annual event. We like it, and our deputies enjoy it as well, because it's a nice, friendly event where we can talk with people and they can get their questions answered." Sohn, 19, said that he also attended the event to gather information. "I am going to be a criminal justice major next year, and I wanted to come and talk with some of the officers in a setting like this," he said. "It's a great place for recruitment," added retired state trooper Marcus Lucas. "You can talk to prospective candidates about careers in law enforcement because we need good people who are really interested. We get a lot of really young kids here and some older students trying to find out what to do as far as a career, and our goal is to impact both." Uptown Plaza honors Peterson. Mark Peterson is now literally etched into the Normal District he helped revitalize. In the heart of Uptown, between Uptown Station and the Children's Discovery Museum, now lies Mark R. Peterson Plaza, an honor announced in March and dedicated Monday with a wall bearing the former city manager's name. "I'm typically not at a loss for words, but there's not much I can say other than thank you," said Peterson, who worked 30 years for the town, including 20 in its top staff job, during which downtown Normal was reinvented as the economic hub renamed Uptown. "This is a tremendous honor, completely unnecessary, but very much appreciated." The town paid $4,550 to Alan Roth Enterprises of Congerville to engrave the existing wall between the two buildings, the proposed site of a pedestrian underpass connecting Uptown Circle and areas south of the railroad tracks. A feasibility study for that project, another possible economic driver in Uptown, is ongoing. "This is a special place right now, and I know there are plans to make it even more spectacular and more special in years to come, and I'll watch that with special interest," said Peterson of the Plaza. Peterson posed for photos at the wall with his extended family and Normal representatives, including Mayor Chris Coos, City Manager Pam Reese, and the City Council, which met shortly after the dedication ceremony. "This is a small way of saying thank you for all the years of service and for the incredible, incredible things you've accomplished," said Coos. In other business, the Council appointed Carla Barnes of Bloomington, Paul Charnette of Hudson, and Terry Ongolea of Bloomington to 3-year terms on the Children's Discovery Museum Foundation Board, approved spending $1.14 million on 2 new fire engines after one caught fire early this year. That will allow the Normal Fire Department to stop using some equipment out of position after the engines are delivered in June. Approved $381,000 in cost of living raises for non-contract employees October 1st. The 2.22% increase is based on the Consumer Price Index, and approved an electronic waste agreement with Bloomington and McLean County. The town's e-waste facility at 1301 Warrener Street is now the county's official disposal site. Driver in Shenoah rollover still sought. Man ran from crash that left woman hurt. Police in several jurisdictions continue to search for a man suspected of fleeing the scene of a rollover crash that left a woman injured last month near Shenoah. "We are still working on it," Lexington Police Chief David Belverly said on Monday. "There may have been some other things that happened with that car up in Pontiac, so we are also working with them and trying to solve this and make an arrest. The Illinois State Police and Shenandoah Police Department also were involved in the incident that started around 9:24 p.m. on July 28th when a Lexington patrol officer witnessed a gray Honda Fit speeding north on Orange Street, said Belvery. Before a traffic stop could be made, the vehicle sped away, he said. He took off at a high rate of speed on Route 66, heading north toward Shenandoah, he added. The Shenandoah Police Department was notified, but Belvery said the vehicle crashed and rolled over at the intersection of Old Route 66 and U.S. 24 in Shenandoah. The driver, who state police identified as Jacob Jackson, apparently ran from the scene and has not been found. A passenger in the car, Elizabeth Arendt, 22, of Chicago, was transported by life flight to OSF Healthcare, St. Francis Medical Center in Peoria. A hospital spokesman said she has since been released. Police think Jackson also may be from Chicago. Pontiac Police declined to comment further on the ongoing investigation. Jackson is described as a thin black man about 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs about 165 pounds, and was wearing a gray hoodie. Aaron told police she didn't know the driver, but was using an online car sharing service called Get Around. Officials with the company declined to comment on the case or to verify if Jackson was associated with their service. Anyone with information about the driver is asked to call the state police at 815-844-1500 or Lexington Police at 309-365-3871. Despite economic worries, area raises record total for St. Jude. In the end, hope beats anxiety. Despite unemployment concerns in Bloomington Normal and throughout central Illinois, the St. Jude Telethon, including the McLean County portion of the annual fundraiser, raised record high amounts over the weekend. Those include record highs from the St. Jude runners, including the Bloomington Normal to Peoria runners. We've had a lot of anxiety in this community with unemployment, said James Ingold, the St. Jude Telethon McLean County chairman, citing job moves by State Farm. But the people in central Illinois proved once again how generous they are, Ingold said Monday. When the need is there, they respond. The St. Jude Telethon, which benefits research and services at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, and its Midwest affiliate at OSF Healthcare Children's Hospital of Illinois in Peoria, raised $10,391,014 compared with $10,132,140 last year, Ingold said. Those numbers include $2,925,229 raised in McLean County, compared with $2,862,344 raised last year, he said. St. Jude is a product that people can invest in. It's a mission that is successful, and it's helping kids. The numbers also include dollars raised during the weekend St. Jude Telethon and at 36 St. Jude runs, as well as money raised in the area throughout the year. The 132 participants from Bloomington Normal raised a record high of $270,000, said run co-chair Dennis Clerk. The need is still there, he said. We won't be satisfied until the need is no longer there. The 60 Decatur to Peoria runners raised $81,752 compared with $55,184 last year, said coordinator Dave Moore. We've got some fantastic runners, Moore said. It's really meaningful when we run into Peoria and see the St. Jude patients and parents. That keeps us going to raise more money and get more runners. This year, St. Jude will treat 7,800 children with cancer and other catastrophic diseases, including about 200 from central Illinois. We'll conclude the rest of this article in the second half hour of the reading. Please stay tuned.